And this is what's written in Sefer Tehillim al Yedei David Melech Yisrael. Teili, teiras picho me'al feizol v'chesef. So he's trying to make a point to him. In other words, you're trying to offer me a huge amount of money. I'm not interested in your money. Just teili, teiras picho me'al feizol.
There's a number of strange things about this Mishnah. We'll start backwards. The first thing is his last piece of the Mishnah. He says to him, I'll give you a huge amount of money, come and live in my city. So Rabbi Yisrael ben Kisma says to him, I'm going to come in your city, because even if you gave me the largest amount of money in the world, any door out of the Makom Torah, I'm only going to live in the Makom Torah. And he wants to press his point. So how does he want to press his point? He wants to press his point by telling him a pasuk. What's the pasuk he wants to tell him? Tevi, teras picha, me'al feizol v'chesef. The Torah is worth more than al feizol v'chesef. So what does he have to say to him? V'chein kosel v'sefer tehinim al yedei David Melech Yisrael. And you should know that David Melech Yisrael said, Tevi teras picha me'al feizol v'chesef. Who cares who said it? If it wasn't David Melech, it was somebody else. The point is that Tevi teras picha me'al feizol v'chesef. It doesn't make any difference who said it. The fact that it was David HaMelech who said it, the Chura doesn't play a role here. Now let's go back to the beginning. The whole story is a very strange story. Why is the story a strange story? So number one Ha'ora, B'Shem, Meir Rebbe Rebbe Guru, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gates, Zichron Livracha. He asked a very interesting Ha'ora. He said there's a Mishnah in Ovis. The Mishnah says in Ovis, Have a Magdim Shalom L'chol Adam. You'd always greet a person. You should always be the first person to greet somebody. So Rebbe said that the Chafetz Chaim, one of the things that the Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim used to say about the Chafetz Chaim was that it was impossible to meet the Chafetz Chaim and to say Shalom Aleichem to him before he said Shalom Aleichem to you. It didn't matter if it was an ungodly, if it was a balabos, if it was a child, whoever it was, this was the uniqueness of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was makpil on this, having makdim shalom lechol adam. Whoever it was impossible to get in a shalom aleichem before the Chafetz Chaim said shalom aleichem to you, because he was makpil on the Mishnah of having makdim shalom lechol adam. So Rachel, I don't understand. If the Chafetz Chaim was makpil on having makdim shalom lechol adam, then Avada Gevis, Rebbe Yisrael ben Kisma, was Makdil and have a Makdil on Makdil Shalom Lechol Adam. And even so, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Poga bi Adam Echad, V'nosan li Shalom, V'chzati li Shalom. He says that the guy that Rabbi Yehuda ben Kisma met managed to say Shalom Aleichem to Rabbi Yehuda ben Kisma before Rabbi Yehuda ben Kisma managed to say Shalom Aleichem to him. Which in itself constitutes a raya that he must have been an Adam Choshev. Because he wasn't in Katlakani, he must have been a Chafetz Chaim, this guy. He was makpil on the heaven, makdim shalom lechol adam, ad kedei kach lechapta reis, Rabbi Yehuda ben Kisma. Fine, seems to sound to her. But then the Mishnah carries on, and the Mishnah says, Upoga bi adam echad. There was one guy who met me, anonymous, doesn't say who. Says Reb Chaskel Levenstein in Panovich Mashgiach, Chaim Livracha. There's a very interesting horror here. He says, if you look anywhere in Chazal, wherever Chazal quote even anonymous figures, they always give them a title. They always give the individual a title. Ha'u Chosid. It doesn't know who it was, but Ha'u Chosid. Ha'u Tzorba Mirabonim. There was a Chosid, there was a Talmud Chacham. There's always a description of the person. Here he says it's one of the unique places where the Mishnah comes along and says, Adam Echad, Mr. Anonymous. So Mimonashach. He says, if the guy was a nobody, then who cares about the whole story? And if the guy was an Adam Choshev, then why doesn't the Mishnah mention who he was? And more than that, according to Rebbe, it's even more sure. Rebbe Tanya, they have a Magdim Shalom Lechol Adam, you see, given a Chafetz Chaim. So the guy was a Chafetz Chaim, so say, Ahu Chasid. Why doesn't he describe who he was? And then more than that, here's a guy who's willing to give away millions, in our terms, he's willing to give away millions of dollars that a Talmud Chacham should come and live in his city. So he wasn't a Katakanya. He was a guy who had a chshivas for Torah, obviously. Otherwise, what does he care? What does he want Rabbi Yisrael Kisma to be by him for? And he's willing to give away a fortune and money for it. So he must have been a person of Adam Choshev. So if he's an Adam Choshev, why does the Mishnah wipe him out? Adam Echad. There was a guy. So there was a zilzal. Why doesn't the Mishnah say something about him? There's another strange thing about this Mishnah. Amali Rebbe Meizem Okimato. He said, where are you from? So Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says to him, I'll tell you where I'm from. And Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma defines where he's from. How does he define where he's from? Me'ir Gedoyla, a large city, Shel Chachomim v'Shel Seferim Onim. So, when Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma is asked, where do you live? Where are you from? What's his answer? That was a very simple answer. I come from a city which is Molei Talmide Chachomim. I come from a city which is Molei, that's it, Dora. That's the way he defines the place where he came from. A city which is Molei Chachomim v'Seferim. The guy offers him a fortune of money to come and live in that city. And what does Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma say to him? Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says to him, give me all the money in the world, any door, I will not live, elo bat, how should he carry on? What should he say? The Chura, he should say, I will not live, any door, elo, be'il, shachachomim, v'seferim. That's the way he defined it. I'm not even mukhin to live in the city of Talmidei Chachamim. He doesn't say that. He says, "Eini dor ela b'mokum Torah." What's this new expression, "mokum Torah"? Eir gedayle shachachamim v'shal seifrim. Why is he switching the lashon? Why is he starting off talking about eir shachachamim v'seifrim and he's finishing up and he's talking about mokum Torah? Well, what's an afkimina? And a ma'is like poetic language. He's changing his lashon. It's a mishnah. It's a mishnah. It's obvious. It's true. But obvious is a mishnah as well. Obvious is a mishnah. The mishnah is mudiyah. Right, so it's halacha l'maisa. It's halacha l'maisa. Chayes al vavus. It's halacha l'maisa. So let's start backwards again. Let's answer the first kasha. Well, the first kasha was, why did he say to him Dovid HaMelech? Who cares if it was Dovid HaMelech? He said, "Tell me, first, speak from the office of Chesed." So I'll answer him with a story. There was an Odom Gadol Moed. Odom Gadol Moed, who was Migdal Yisrael. He was Nifta some odd 26 years ago, Rabbi Cheskel Avramsky. So I had a story from his son, Menachem of Zachi Shavu for Shleim, he's a Chayla Masikin at this point in time, that he told me the following story. Rabbi Avramsky was the Avi Bezin of London during the Second World War. The Blitz started, and the Germans started bombing London, and the English were totally unprepared. They had no air raid shelters. There was no concept of an air raid shelter. The bombing was massive bombing, and it was particularly concentrated in one area, and that was next to the docks, next to the London docks, which was a large shipping centre. And as is the custom always, Jews, when they first emigrate to a country, they get off the boat, and where they live, they always live next to where the boat stops, right near the port. That's the way Jewish emigration works. And then slowly they move out to the suburbs. At that point in time, the large concentration of Jews was in the area in London, the east end of London, which is right next to London docks. Everybody lived there. And that's where the massive bombing was taking place. A lot of people left. As soon as the bombing started, in fact, after about a year, everybody left. The whole of London was basically evacuated. And the Jews left as well, and they went to outlying areas, to country towns where there was no bombing. He initially, Avramsky initially, didn't want to leave because he had to be in the Bezin every day and the work was going on, he didn't want to leave. But there were air shelters, so the government opened up at night the subway stations. And the subway stations were deep underground, everybody went down to the subway stations and everybody spent the night there. Punkt where he lived, in that area where he lived, there was no subway station. So there was nowhere for them to go to. But he lived in an apartment, and the apartment was on the second floor of a building, and on the first floor of the building there was a bank. And he lived there for a number of years, and he got friendly with the bank manager. The bank manager would come in the morning, he used to leave the house, say hello to him, how are you? And he had an account in that bank. The bank had a vault, and the vault was on the ground. If an air raid siren went off in the middle of the day, and the workers were in the bank, so he noticed that all the workers ran into the vault, and that was their area shelter, was the vault. So he went to the bank manager, and he asked for shifts from the bank manager, he said, can I have the keys to the vault? That if the air raid siren goes off in the middle of the night, I should be able to go down with my family to the vault. The bank manager knew him. He was Adam Choshev. He was the Av Bezin in London. Everybody in the Goyim knew him as well. He was a very imposing figure. So he agreed. So he made a deal with the bank manager that every time the siren goes off, he and his family are allowed to go into the vault, whether it's by day or going to the vault with the workers, whether it's by night. He had the keys to the vault, he had the keys to the bank. One day the bank manager comes to Rabonsky's son and he says to him, I have a question that I want to ask you. He says, it's happened a couple of times that the air raid siren went off in the middle of the day, your father was at home, he comes running down into the bank and he comes into the vault with me. He says, now we sit there sometimes, 45 minutes, half an hour, 20 minutes, depends on how long it is until the all clear goes. He says, I've noticed, he says, everybody goes into the vault and everybody's got their mahalach in the vault. This guy takes the newspaper in with him, this guy sits and looks into the midair, the others are talking. He says, everybody's doing something. He says, he's sitting and he's mumbling to himself. He's sitting there in the vault and he's mumbling to himself. Now, I can't understand a word that the man is saying because he's speaking in a foreign language. But, says the goy said to him, but I did notice one thing. Whatever he's saying it over and over again because it's the same sounds coming out of his mouth. What's he saying? So his son said, I don't know. He said, so he's thinking to himself, he's telling the story. So he says, he's probably no Mishnayis. He's probably this Chazrin Mishnayis Baal Peh. He says, that's what I thought to myself. So he says to the guy, I tell you the truth, I don't know. He says, but next time there's an opportunity that I'm sitting with him in the vault, I'll listen. So here you are, it takes a few weeks. Normally he wasn't there because he was in school. He said it was a Sunday, there was no school. The air raid siren went off in the morning, but there's no bank. So he says he runs down with his father to the vault with the family, and they sit in the vault, they walk in the vault, he's in the vault, it's full of money, and the bank vault. He says his father's sitting there, and he hears Abramsky saying to himself the whole time, Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed, Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed, that's not what he was saying. So Monday morning the bank manager turns up. So he goes to the bank manager and he says to the bank manager, he says, I've got the answer for you. He says, every time he goes into the vault, my father sits there and he says, Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed. So the guy says to him, what is Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed? So he says, Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed is a verse in Psalms. King David is in Psalms and he says, Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed. The guy says, what does it mean? So he explains to him in English, Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed is that the Bible is worth a lot more than any money in the world. So the guy thinks for a moment and he says, it seems, he says, your father never had any money in his life. If he would have had any money in his life, he wouldn't be sitting there saying, Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed. So the guy told him. That's pshat here in the Mishnah. Rav Yishai ben Kiswa says to him, you're offering me millions. Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed. So what are you going to say to me? You're going to say to me, big deal. You say Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed because you don't know what money is. You never had any money. If you would have had money, you wouldn't say Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed. You'd say the other way around. Tevi Al Pezol V'Chesed Mitera. Says the Yosef and kiss with him. Who said it? Who said Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed? Dovid HaMelech. Dovid HaMelech said Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed. There was nobody according to Chazal who was richer in the world than Dovid HaMelech. Chazal said Mefurish. Dovid HaMelech was a multi-millionaire. Says the Yosef and kiss with, you think I'm saying to you, Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed, because I don't know what it's all about? Dovid HaMelech knew what it was all about, and you better than you what it was all about. V'im Kol Zeh, he said Tevi Teres Picha Me'al Pezol V'Chesed. Abba, the Meisa, at the end of the day, the Kasher, the second Kasher is a good Kasher. If this guy was an Odom Choshev, he was Makim Shalom L'chal Odom, he was willing to give away millions for Torah. So what's the pshat? But he said that the Mishnah calls him an Odom Echad, doesn't say who it is. The Ben Yosef, what's this business about? Ein Dor B'Mokim Torah? And Ir Shel Chacham V'Sofer. And then there's another kasha which the Ganzer Welt asks, and which is a Pashta kasha. Rav Yosef ben Kiswa also doesn't make sense too much. The guy comes along to him and says to him, I'll give you millions. How much money you want? You've got to buy the check by me. So what does Rav Yosef ben Kiswa say to him? Any dollar of Malkum Torah. What's the problem? Take the check, cash the check, and turn the place into a Malkum Torah. What's the big deal? You get out to Lakewood, you'll offer $3,000 a month for a Kohenik. You'll have thousands of them lining up. Thousands. No problem whatsoever. Schlep them all off to the place, and within 20 years, the place will become a Malkum Torah. What we've seen, we've seen things like that. So he said, no. Any door of a Malkum Torah. What's the pshat? Take the money and turn it into a Malkum Torah. I mean, that's the obvious answer, so everyone would say today. Pashtus. when Avraham Avinu, when Lot is saved by the Malachim, they tell him he has to get out of Sodom because Sodom is going to be destroyed. So they go, they start running. They shut him out and they say to Lot, you got to get out of here, because if you don't get out of here, you're going to die together with the rest of the people of Sodom. And then it's very interesting in the Pesukim, there's a conversation that goes on between Lot and the Malachim. And Lot says, I realize I've got to get out of here. And I realize if I stay here, I'm going to be destroyed. And I know that I can't go anywhere in this area because this area is going to be wiped out. However, there is a place which is Kreva Lomus Shoma, which literally translates means it's a place which is nearby that I can run away there. The He Mitzo. And it's a place called Mitzo. In Molten of Shoma, I'll run away to there. And in Mitzo, He is Finashi, and I'll be able to survive there. So Rashi comes along, and Rashi says an interesting touch. Rashi translates the pasuk differently. Rashi quotes a Chazal, and Rashi says, "Hini no ha'ir azeis kreiv olam shomo." What does it mean? "Hini no ha'ir azeis kreiv olam shomo." What does it mean? It's near. Says Rashi, the pasuk doesn't mean it's near. It's geographically located nearby. What the pasuk means is it was a newly built city. It was a recently built city. Kreiv means recently built. Says Rashi, Shem Chazal, a person should try and live in a place which was recently built. Why? Because less chatoim were done in that place. And seeing that less chatoim were done in that place, therefore the hashpa of the place is less. So what do we see from here? There's a concept of the hashpa of a place. I just came in from Cleveland, so maybe I'm still under the... I just came in from Tells, so maybe I'm still under the influence. But I once heard from a Mulcha Gifter. He said that there was a street which went from Tells to, if I don't correct me, Varenya, I think. It went from Tells to Shtetl, so a small Shtetl next to Tells, which was called Varenya. And the street was called Varenyagas. That was the name of the street. And he said that the Goyim used to come and they used to be mischanen to the Bochrim and Tells, please, Ben Astorim, when you're talking and learning, please come and walk up and down this street. And he said when he came, when he first came from America to Tells, he said, it was a puddle by him. What did the guy care? He says, until he found out that there was a certain pathway which went through a field where Reb Lezer Gordon used to walk up and down this path when he used to prepare his shir. And he used to say over his shir, before he said it in Yeshiva, he used to walk up and down this path and say over his shir to himself. And this path is in the middle of a field, and it was Yadua that the goy who owned this field, that the corn in this field grew double the size of the corn everywhere else in Tells. And the goyim were meshuchna, they were convinced that the reason was because Lazy Gordon used to prepare his shear. So the goyim used to come and be mishanan to the bochrim, come and walk through. They should walk through their fields, because then the produce should grow bread. So the Mufal Gifter had to give an amos. And it was true. Where the Bochrim walked, there it grew. Why? Because there's a hashpah of a place. In the same way as there's a hashpah of a place which can be negative, there's a hashpah of a place which can be positive as well. Basically, when Kisma said to the guy, he said, I come from a city which is an ir molei chachomim v'seifrim. It's a city which is molei chachomim v'seifrim. You know why it's a city which is molei chachomim v'seifrim? Because it's a Makom Torah. Why is it a Makom Torah? Because it was a Makom Torah. There is something about a place, there is a hashpah about a place. Place has an effect. A Makom has an effect. It has an effect in Rishonim as well. You cannot use money to turn a place into a Makom Torah if there isn't a history of the place being a Makom Torah beforehand. It's a Metzias. And historically, it is proven. If you look around all the places that became Mekomos HaTorah, once the historians get to work, you find out that previously it was a Makom Torah. How do we know this? It's a Mishnah in Pechiyovus. Shnayim sheyoshvim ve'ein beinehem divrei Torah harei ze moishev leitzim. Shnaim sheyeshvim ve'ein b'neihem divrei Torah. What does that mean? So we always translate it. Shnaim sheyeshvim, you've got two people sitting, ve'ein b'neihem divrei Torah, and they're not learning. Harizim eishim leishim, it's a group of leitzim. I don't think this makes sense. If that's the case, if that's what we're talking about, then you should say Shnaim sheyeshvim ve'lo lomdim Torah. Is that Shnaim sheyeshvim ve'ein b'neihem divrei Torah? Shnaim sheyeshvim ve'lo lomdim Torah. And second of all, Shnaim sheyeshvim ve'lo lomdim Torah. So you can say it's a place of batola. And why is it Moshe Leitzim? Moshe Leitzim means something else. Moshe Leitzim means it's a place where ideologically there's something wrong. Leitzim doesn't mean a guy who's a joker. That's a mistranslation. Unless it's not a guy who's a joker, unless there's something wrong in his hashkofas, there's something wrong in his mahalach hamashol, there's something wrong in his ideology. Say the Mefarshim, what does it mean, Shnaim sheyeshvim ve'ein b'neihem divrei Torah? It doesn't mean they weren't learning. Shnaim sheyeshvim ve'ein b'neihem divrei Torah means that they were learning. There was a chavrusa sitting and they were learning. There were two guys who were sitting and learning. Ve'ein b'neihem divrei Torah. It's not going. There's nothing coming out of this chavrusa. There's nothing happening. Ein b'neihem divrei Torah. There's no. It's not working. And nobody knows why. You have a Medrash, it's full of Sforim, you have an atmosphere, you have an environment, you have everything. And you've got two guys who are sitting and learning, and they're doing their best, the Ein B'neihem Divrei Torah. There's no Divrei Torah going between them. It's not happening. The Chavrus is not happening. Says the Gemara, you know where the first place is you look? Harizim and Meshav Reis. There's something wrong with the place. There's something wrong with the place. There's a negative vibe in the place. If there were the positive vibes of a Mokum Torah, then it's not Shayach. Shnaim Sheyeshvim V'yesh B'neihem Divrei Torah, Shechina Shuvah B'neihem. You don't create Shechina by learning. You don't create Shechina by learning. Shechina's there. You are learning. It's Divrei Torah B'neihem because it's a Mokum Torah. So Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma, I can't create a Mokum Torah. There's no way I can create a Mokum Torah. Money doesn't create Mokumus HaTorah. What creates a Mokum Torah? The place. The hashpo of the place. If the hashpo of the place is positive, if there was Torah there, there will be Torah there. Even if there is 100 years or 1,000 years where it's desolate, there will be Torah there. And if it wasn't a Mokum Torah, there will not be Torah there. Because these aren't games. These are hashpos that work. Who was this guy? And what was wrong with this guy? What was wrong with this guy that the Mishnah calls him Odom Echad? This Odom Choshev, this Chofetz Chaim, why is he called Odom Echad? He says, Reb Chaskel Levenstein, he says, a miracle book. He says, the story is a very strange story. He says, if you meet a guy, if you're in the fundraising business, and you meet a guy, and you talk to the guy for 20 minutes, and the guy says, I'll give you $5 million for your moysed, you can be rest assured that he has a lot more than $5 million. Because there doesn't exist a guy in the world who empties out his bank account for you when you walk in. So if the guy says to you, I'll write you a check for $5 million, you can be rest assured he has much more of that tucked away in Switzerland, and he has much, much more of that tucked away in his American bank accounts, and he has much more in the new Viennese secret accounts, and he has much more in the Bahamas as well. Nobody's giving away what they have. So if Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma is walking in the street and he meets this guy, and he speaks to the guy for 5 minutes, and the guy is overwhelmed by Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma, and he says, come to my city, I'll give you $5 million if you come to my city, $10 million, $20 million, whatever you want. So the guy's got much more than that. So if so, says Rabbi Chassel, there's no question here. If he's so enthralled with Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma, and he's so overwhelmed with Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma, and he wants Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma to be in his proximity, and he's willing to pay millions of dollars that Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma should come to him, that means the guy's got much more. If the guy's got much more, what's his problem? Pick yourself up and move to the Ir Mori Chachomim V'Seifim where Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma's living. If you're so enthralled with Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma and you so want to be next to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Kisma, you say, no, fine, pick yourself up. So what are you going to tell me? I can't, because I have a job in the other place. You have a job in the other place. Your guys can give away $10 million, $20 million, $25 million. So it makes enough to commit where you live. So that means you've got hundreds of millions tucked away. So you live here, you live there, you commute, you fly, you whatever you want. So why isn't the guy willing to leave the place where he's in? Says Reb Chaskel, for one reason only. Because he has a business there. So he has a business there. Does he need panasa? Of course he doesn't need panasa. Voraya. He's got millions to give away. So if he's got millions to give away, he doesn't need panasa. He's not dying of hunger. So he's got a business there. So what? Yesh le'mon aretz ha'masayim. Can't give up the business. I'll give away $15 million to Stocker. But as long as it's not at the expense of me making another $20 million, another $30 million, another $40 million, another $50 million. This week's parsha is the Nekuda. There's a Mishnah, another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And the Mishnah says that a person, whenever he does something, he has to have in mind one thing. Ta, you should know. Lifnei mi ata osid liten din v'cheshpan. At the end of the day, who are you going to have to give a din v'cheshpan to? Says the Vilna Gaon, what is this double expression, din v'cheshpan? So everybody quotes the same Gaon, without knowing that there are two Mekomos where the Gaon talks about it. And he says two different pshatim. Everybody quotes the first pshat of the Gaon. The Gaon says that if my person does a ma'aseh aveira, then you get a punishment. That's called din. Then, the shas ma'aseh, when you did the aveira, you could have been doing a mitzvah. So you're going to get hit the second time. You're going to get hit the second time for the fact that you missed out doing a mitzvah. That's called a cheshbon. That's the calculations of the Rebbeinu Shemayim. That's the famous Gaon that everybody quotes. There's a second Gaon which is not quoted so often. The Gaon on Mishnayos. The guy says, what's the pshat? Dalif ne'ata ma'isim din v'cheshbon. Says the Gaon as follows. There is ultimate truth. There is objective truth. There is emes. Emes is Torah. The Torah says you can do it, fine. The Torah says you can't do it, you can't do it. That's din. You do what the Torah says, you'll get a schar. You don't do what the Torah says, you'll get an einish. That's called din. But then there's something else, says the Gaon. That's not objective emes, it's subjective emes. Your emes. Are you eisgehalten with your emes? Are you consistent in your own truth? Not in the Torah's truth. Forget about the Torah's truth. In your own truth. You've got a guy who by nature is a kamtzum. He's by nature a miserly person. That's who he is. Right? He will travel 400 miles with a 3-cent coupon that he cut out of the paper in order to buy something 4 cents cheaper. That's his Baal HaChaim. He sits in the dark without his pants on in order to save electricity and save the wear and tear on his pants. Right? There are people like that. That's his teva. A guy knocks on his door, he asks him for stocker. So he gives him 5 cents. Can he have a tiner on the guy? No. Bashamayim, will there be any tiners on the guy? No tiners. He's consistent down the line. He doesn't spend 5 cents on himself. 5 cents on himself is a huge amount of money. His blood pressure goes mishug every time he takes out a dollar out of his pocket. Right? They have to bring atzola every time he talks about anything more than 90 cents. So no matter, when the guy comes and knocks on the door and he gives him a dollar, it's consistent. But if the guy's buying $28,000, right, on a week vacation for Pesach with his family, and then when somebody knocks on the door, he opens the door and he says, the matter is very sure, what's coming from the panos, and he drinks, and he gives him $5, the cheshbon's wrong. Not the objective emes, the guy's emes is wrong. He's not being consistent. He's the guy who is smoking 35 minutes after Shkia Erev Shabbos, because he became a Baba Chassid and he holds Rabbeinu Tam, Lechatchila. And Motzi Shabbos, he's davening 19 minutes after Shkia in America because he goes with the Meikul Kashikin in the Baba Tanya. He's messed up. Why is he messed up? Not because he's objectively messed up. He says, Eskahalten, I'll be Aloch on all sides. Right? He's Eskahalten. Then he says, Friday night he decided to be Rabbeinu Tam, Motzi Shabbos decided to be the Baba Tanya, the Beseder. There's something wrong there. There's no consistency. The cheshbon is wrong. The cheshbon's messed up. But Rebbeinu Shlom says, there's din. That's one parsha. We'll hit you on that. Avada Gavis. But there's a second parsha. The second parsha is cheshbon. Be honest with yourself. Enter with me, says Rebbeinu Shlom. As long as you're consistent, fine. Go ahead. But be consistent down the line. There's a guy called Lavan. And he sees money on the horizon. Mishpachavis turns up with a young lady, they want to marry her off. There's money there. He sees money there. He sees the tzmidim, he sees the bracelets, he sees the ornaments, he sees the other thing, Rashi says. So what does he do? He runs off to greet them. And what does he say? He says, come. Says to them, come, stay by me. Come. You're welcome to me. Why? Because I've got plenty of room in the house. Policius and bias. Clean out the house for you. The guest room's ready. Says Rashi, no, he didn't mean that. Policium is a bias means what? I threw out all the other Zara in the house. Very nice. Okay. Gentlemen. So gentlemen, he counted up the crucifixes because he's got the rabbi staying by him. It's very nice. He goes chasing after his daughters at a later point in time. He's Eish L'Hava. What's the Eish L'Hava about? They stole my idols! Now it's true, a guy is Mitzvah and Aveda Zara. But Mitzad Sheni, there is a saving grace here. Right? Man of principle. I'm going to make Aveda Zara. You don't like it? Fine. Sir. But I'm Aveda Zara. You've got a right to go and interfere in my religious life. What are you taking my idols away? You don't agree with me? Besides, so tell me you don't agree with me. But they will steal my idols. So there is something here. Right? There is an upside here. There's an element here that you can perhaps even shabeach him. He's a man of principles. He doesn't like it that somebody disturbed his religious beliefs, even though his religious beliefs are wrong. So the Torah, no. There's no religious beliefs here. The guy's a phony baloney. What's the raya? The cheshbon doesn't work. You can't have a situation where mitzad echad, he's screaming, you stole my idols. And mitzad sheni, ponesis abayis. If I want your money, I throw out my own idols. Monashach, are you throwing out your own idols? You don't care to hoot about them, or you mention about them, but you can't have it both. The cheshbon stimmt nicht. Says Reb Chaskel, that was what went on here in the Mishnah. Adam Echad, says Reb Chaskel, Rosh Marusha. That's the language he uses. I haven't seen it inside, I couldn't find it inside. Ravon Grovitz, Rosh Yiva Gates, that brings it, that he heard it from Reb Chaskel. Rosh Marusha. Why? He says, the cheshbon stimmt nicht. You're phony baloney. If you really were interested in Torah, if you really were interested in a mocking Torah, then you would have picked yourself up and you would have come to my city, said Reb Yosef ben Kisma. Why don't you want to come to my city? Because you've got a business where you are. Are you going to lose anything by coming? No. You're not going to lose anything. Because you're not a guy who has to be there because it's bread for you. It's not bread for you. Alright, you've got millions to give away. If you've got millions to give away, you've got more than that. Bread you've got. I don't know how much more, maybe you tell it. You're giving away 95% of the bread you've got to put on the table. So why aren't you moving? Because at the end of the day, making a few more bucks is more important. Even though you're willing to give away millions. Objectively, I'll be there, everything's fine. I'll be your cheshbon. But your consistency, there's something wrong here. So stimmt nicht. It's not being over on the Aveira that makes you into the Odom as opposed to the Odom HaGadol, says Reb Chaskel. It's not the fact that in Shulchan Aruch we can open up and say a guy did something wrong. We're not talking about a guy who did something wrong. We're talking about a guy who is cheshbon stimmt nicht. If we would devote some time, every single one of us, to our self-analysis, we would find a very interesting Nakuda. When it comes to din, yeah, now, otherwise we'd all be malachim. Right? Yeah. Everybody makes mistakes. Right? I once heard a conversation with somebody who phoned up one of the Gedolei HaPoskim in Eretz Yisrael, Yanke Fisher. Phoned him up and he said to him, and he answered the phone, he said, Fisher? He said, yeah. He said, I phoned you up 25 minutes ago, I asked you a shayla. You told me a psak. I just looked at Shulchan Aruch. Says the opposite. You're wrong. Shlomo Yanke Fisher was a classic Yerushalayim who never got excited about anything, never took anything to heart. So he said to him in Yiddish, he said, Val Tzuva Sekunda, wait a minute, let me get my Shulchan Aruch. He opened up his Shulchan Aruch. You could hear him flipping the pages on the phone. Then he said on the phone, he said the following. He said, Richtig, Chigamach Batois. He said, right, I made a mistake. Wollte ich nicht gewinnen, wollte ich gemein am Malach. wollte ich immer am Malach, gleich mir, wollte ich nicht mehr in der Mehrer Rabbi, weil er freut ist. He said, if I wouldn't make a mistake, I would have been an angel. If I would be an angel, believe me, I wouldn't be working as a Pesach for the Eidah Kredis in Yerushalayim. I'd have better things to do. I made a mistake. Nobody's perfect. When it comes to Din, we all make mistakes. When it comes to Shulchan Aruch, we all make mistakes. There's a system. There's a Din, there's a system, the Rebbeinu Shalom has it all worked out. Right. But there's a second chelik. And the chelik is, and on that, there's already less tshuvas that we can give. There's less answers, less cheshbon. Are we oiskahal, not an objective emes, but are we oiskahal without private emes? Is it true? Right? Is it true that which we say to ourselves? On that, the Rebbeinu Shalom is not going to be mevata. We all work hard. We all have crazy lives. It's Matthias. That's the world that we live in. That's part of the ikus of the Mashiach is that life is crazy. That's part of it. Chazal say so. The world will go mad. People will be chasing their tails. That's what we live in. And a guy gets home, I'm talking to myself, I know what it's like. You get home at night, and you're zonked out your mind. You are. Your mind is your hard right? And you have two choices. You can sit on the armchair and phase out, or you can have a Gemara and start learning. Is that a choice? No. No. It's no choice. I can't even think straight. Right? We all have these conversations, we all know. Right? I tell my wife this every night, what do you want from me? I can't even think straight. I just spent 12 hours in Yeshiva. I can't think straight. I don't know how I'm going to cover the bank tomorrow morning. I haven't yet prepared a shiur for tomorrow morning. I need an hour and a half just to look into empty space and think about nothing. Nothing. Zilch. I just want to stare into empty space for an hour and a half. Skumpa. Then somebody comes in with a geshmak alosh nara, but a really good one. They threw a bomb in front of a yeshiva, they did this, they did that. And all of a sudden you're wide awake, an hour and a half goes by, and you don't stop talking, and you're into it, and the cheshbainas on this one, and that one, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the Baruch Shalom goes, bang! Your cheshbans are not consistent. If Enochanama is on top of your mind, you want to stay into space, and somebody comes in and says, I've got a million Likushtika Lashon Hara for you, and you turn around and say to him, I need an hour and a half to look into space, nothing, and then come back in an hour and a half and dying to hear it. Then the Rebbeinu Shalom is not going to have any time, and you didn't make it up tomorrow. No problem. But if you've got an hour and a half to sit and bum around and talk to somebody, the cheshbon comes in. And we're all, that's all of us. That's all of us. Are the decisions we're making, are they eisgehalten al pi cheshbon, or are they not eisgehalten al pi cheshbon? We all know it. Guy says to you, make a chavrusa. 5:30 in the morning. 5:30 in the morning? I didn't know the 5:30 in the morning existed. Right? But even 5:30, the 3 o'clock the day ends, the day starts again at 10 o'clock. Between 3 and 10 there is nothing. It's nothing. It's vacant. There is no such thing as 5 o'clock in the morning. But if it's something else, we're out there at 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, we're off. Why? Somebody has some idea about maybe I'll make a half a buck. Ulai. So I'll travel 300 miles at 5 o'clock in the morning. Ulai. I'm not talking about you, it's about me. You know how many thousands of miles we're laughing at ourselves have traveled on Chalevis to the guy who's going to save us? Thousands and thousands and thousands of miles at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, half past 2 in the morning, get on a plane. You don't know which airport you're coming to, where you're going from anymore, you've got no idea, you think you live in airports and on planes, all for some Chalevis. Tell me to do the same thing for a Black Gemara. I'm an old man. I'm retiring age. I should be sitting in a rocking chair outside a nursing home counting the buses going by. What do you want from me? That's what we are. That's what Rabbi Yisrael said there. You know, in contemporary American language, what Rabbi Yisrael said to him was, you're full of it. The cheshbon doesn't stem. That's the nekuda that the Mishnah is trying to tell us. If we take that nekuda with us, maybe life will start looking different.
Downstairs, light refreshments. Brought to you by Preston's Bakery. Client and family. Thank you.